Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. My name is Louis Mendes and joining me to look ahead to Good Friday's trip up to Doncaster Rovers. First up, we've got the calm analyst of Charlton Live, Mr. Tom Wallin. How are you doing, Tom?
All right, mate. Yeah, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad. You enjoyed the international break with your beloved Wales, Chris Gunter's 100th cap as well, actually.
Very pleased for him.
Big few days for the nation of Wales.
They've done all right, to be fair. Held their own against Belgium and then got a win last night. So, yeah, overall, I was pleased
with
it.
What was the score against Belgium? I have no idea.
It was like 3-1.
So you lost.
They lost. But nice to see Johnny again.
Always a pleasure. Back in the red.
Always nice.
And a man who's always in the red, as far as I'm concerned, is Mr. Nathan Muller. How you doing, Nath?
How's it going, boys? Talking about Wales. Nice to see old Johnny play a little Danny Alves role.
Well, did he play at wing back or something?
Yeah. Played right wing back. Absolutely smashed it up. I know, Tom's going to say he smashes it up anyway, even if he plays rubbish. But listen, he was an absolute bowler out there. Played in the middle yesterday, didn't he, Tom? Absolute bowler. He's just like utility man, the Phil Neville. That's what I'm going to call him, the Phil Neville of Wales.
I mean, that's a shame.
Yeah. I mean, the sad fact is we have to admit that he's never going to be as good as Phil Neville because. but that's where we are, right, on this evening's big match preview then. We're going to hear a fair bit from the new boss. Nigel Adkins has had a couple of weeks now, hasn't he, with the lads on the training ground. We'll hear his thoughts ahead of the trip to Doncaster. He'll give us a little injury update on the players as well. We'll find out what how he sees the rest of this season coming up, and he tells us a little bit about what he did in the international break and also what he did during his time out of the game as well since his last job at Hull. We'll hear a fair bit from the new boss, a few tweets to look ahead to as well. But I mean, just before we dive in then, we're going to go straight into looking ahead to Donny, Tom. It's a big game for us. Irrespective of where we are in the league and our playoff situation, it'd be very interesting to see what Nigel can do with this side now he's had a couple of weeks with him.
Yeah, I think we'll obviously hear a little bit about the sort of prep he's done with the team over the international break, and we've kind of built up a little rivalry, haven't we, against Doncaster in recent years with the playoffs and everything. And yeah, as you say, I think we're still, despite, you know, my own thoughts on where we are as a team, we are still technically and mathematically in the hunt for those playoff places. And Nigel coming in, although it wasn't like Bowyer left under a cloud, Nigel coming in has certainly been a breath of fresh air in terms of his positivity and the way he's been on social media. And if he can fire up those players for the last 10 or so games of the season and we can get on the good run that we've been speaking about for so long, then there's still every chance of scraping into those places. So, look, we've said it quite a few times that there's no easy games, you know, in this league this season. Everyone's pretty much of a level. But if we can go there and get a win, we're obviously going to have another week off with the postponement of Lincoln on Tuesday. So he's got more time to work with the players again. So, to be honest, like I said to you guys just before we came on air, it's just nice to have Charlton back again because it feels like it's been a long time since we last played.
Yeah, it certainly does. Nathan, a chance to attack this game against the Doncaster side, obviously, who sit 1 point above us, a couple of places above us, but with two games in hand as well. So, you know, I mentioned the importance of the game for Nigel and getting his ideas over to the side. But obviously, if we are to stake a claim for the playoffs this season, then would you go as far as saying this is a must-win game?
I think it depends where your expectations lie. I think if we're going to have any hope of getting in the playoffs, then it is really. For me, I'm still in the same light. Listen, if we make playoffs, brilliant. If we don't, we've got a big rebuilding job to do. But it's going to be a tough game. You know, they started the season really well, didn't they? And obviously ever since Omar Bogle joined them in January, they've lost 50% of their games since then. So I don't know. I'm not saying there's a correlation, but
it's just a coincidence. He's been too busy doing that rapping that we saw the other day. I don't know if anyone saw that on Twitter. Omar Bogle's taken up a new career.
Oh yeah, looks like it. Yeah, shame he couldn't sort of wrap his foot around the ball and get some goals for us. But
nice,
never mind,
nice. Oh, with spitting rhythms like that, Nate, you should be doing some rapping.
That's a prime opportunity to get the old Andrew Croft sort of rapping sort of But no, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be a difficult game. They've got some good players, but they're on. I think they've lost a few games recently, and I remember they went on a mad run. And I done a show with a YouTube show, and they had a Doncaster fan on, and they were flying at the time. And they thought they were going to finish top two, and then ever since then they've just crashed and burned. And but they're still hanging in there. So that beginning part of the season has, you know, got the points and the board and stood them in good stead. So yeah, going to be difficult, but I'm not going to be looking at it. If we lose the game, like any game, I'm going to be disappointed, but I'm not going to be jumping out of a window or anything like that.
Yeah, five games without a win for Doncaster Rovers. Of course, they lost their manager, Darren Moore, to Sheffield Wednesday. And now Andy Butler is in charge of Donny, of course, a man who used to be managed by Nigel Adkins at Scunthorpe United. So let's hear the new Addicts boss thoughts on coming up against one of his former charges.
Yes, fantastic. What a fantastic guy he is. Great character, real good person. As you said, when he was starting off as a youngster, I was the physiotherapist at Scunthorpe United. So obviously he's come through that department. And then when I was the manager as well, he was one of the key players for us. And it's great to see him involved in management now. I know he was doing a lot with Doncaster Ladies. And now he's obviously been playing as well. But now he's stepped up to the management role. In fact, before I joined here, you know, we'd actually had a few conversations on the phone as well, just to be a bit of support for him. But obviously, I'll speak to him before and after the game now, but you know, I've not spoken to him since I've joined Charlton.
What advice did you give him at the time, though? Because I know when he was captain at Doncaster, he said that managers such as yourself inspire him in the managerial world.
Yeah, listen, no, he's got to be himself. He's got to find his way. But I suppose one of the things we talked about at the very beginning was just he's going to get bombarded with loads of different things. It is a different structure. It's how he looks after himself. You know, from, you know, exercise, nutrition, sleep, his well-being, to try and deal with the many situations he's going to be placed within, because it's totally different from being a player. It's totally different from being a coach. There's so many other things that go on, and it's just how he can, you know, look after himself through that point of view. So.
And when you were managing him, did you expect him to go down the managerial route then as well?
First of all, listen, he's a good person, first of all. You know, he's had a good career, and he has been managing Doncaster Ladies. You know, so it's from that point of view, you are seeing that it is, you know, the natural transition from playing into coaching, and obviously the management situation has arisen now. So I think it's great for him.
And for the pair of you, it's a massive game in terms of pushing for those playoff spots, isn't it? Just 1 point separating the two of you at the moment.
Yes, we've come in. Obviously, we can't affect anybody else. All we can look to do is affect the next game that we're playing. You know, obviously, teams have played more or less games than us. So we've there's a disparity in league games at the moment. So points totals will probably change. But you've got a rough idea that, you know, there's so many points you've got to get in the playoff positions anyway. So, you know, we know we haven't got that many games that we can drop points in to achieve that. But for me, it's all about coming in and just working on the process of our performance. And if we get our performance right and we keep working on that, we give ourselves a better opportunity to win games.
You've had a good time to work with the players now without a game. We've obviously got Doncaster coming up on Friday. We've had a couple of epic battles with them the last time we met them in League One, of course. How's the squad looking as you prepare for that? Specifically, Connor, is he match fit now, and Ryan Innes is another one who was on his way back.
Okay, important. I mean, Connor Washington's not going to be available for selection. He'll miss the Easter programme, but he's responding, you know, as well as could be expected with the injury that he had. Ryan Innes came through a game. He had a good 60 minutes against Brentford's B team on, I can't remember what day it was, the end of last week, Thursday it might have been. So that's positive, and he's trained with us all week. So that's good as he progresses his levels of fitness. And we've had one or two other lads who played in the Brentford game as well who had recovered from injury. So we're pleased with that. The one, you know, the big miss will be Connor. He's not going to be available for the game. I think that's fair to say. And obviously we've had Liam Miller, who's returned. He's been in the training ground this morning, having been away with Canada on international duty. In the sunshine of Florida, I think he was in. Is that right? It was something like that. He's got a nice bit of glow on him. But then again, we had some great sun yesterday, didn't we? So I think a lot of people have got a bit of sunshine yesterday. As I say, Chrissy Gunter has come back. He's trained this morning with us after, you know, collecting his 100th cap. So they're the two internationals that have been away. And obviously, Connor didn't travel with Ireland. You know, and everybody else is, you know, I've been pleased with the way the lads have responded and worked over this last 13 days. As I said.
There we go. Nigel speaking about coming up against Andy Butler and, of course, giving us that all-important team news ahead of Good Friday's trip up to Doncaster Rovers. Don't forget, it's a 12:30 kickoff. The game's on Sky, so they won't be able to stream it on Valley Pass unless you're in a couple of countries, but not the UK. So you'll need to try and get hold of Sky Sports somehow to watch that game. Yeah, the big news from a Charlton point of view, Tom, Connor Washington missing out. You know, we saw him going off injured in that game against Wimbledon 6 months ago, it feels like. But our last time out, he went off early, didn't he? And he's not going to play any part in what was called the Easter programme. But now, obviously, our game against Lincoln's been called off due to a COVID situation with the Imps. So no game on Tuesday, but a game on Friday without Connor Washington. And it could be a big miss for us.
I think it'll be a massive miss. Yeah, I think particularly over the last few weeks, we've seen the impact that he can have on this team. Not just his goals, but his work rate and the way he runs the channels. You know, he's very different to the other forwards that we've got, I would suggest. So, yeah, he's going to be a huge loss. And as you say, with the game off next week, I think the comfort that I'm taking from it is it's just going to be that one game that he misses. Same with Ryan Innes as well. You know, like I spoke about before, it gives players like that a chance to play their way back to fitness, hopefully. And you would hope that Washington will be all right come the weekend after as well, because he's a big player for us. But you know, opposite to that, it gives somebody like Ronnie, who I think got some minutes, didn't he, against the Brentford B team behind closed doors the other day. Maybe he'll get a chance because I'd be interested. I know his form hasn't been brilliant. He hasn't really, you know, got started under us, but he hasn't had a huge amount of opportunities. You know, coming on in the 88th minute week after week, he's not had a huge amount there. So maybe if we go with an Anike or a Stockley and Ronnie alongside, maybe it gives him a chance to play himself into form. So, yeah, obviously I would like Washington out there because we know how well he's done. But at the same time, as I say, it gives an opportunity to some of the others. And with Stockley and Anike, they're both obviously been very good for us, in good form, just consistently throughout this season. So, yeah, it is a big miss, but I don't think it's one that we can't recover from, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, which way do you see that going then? Nate Stockley and Anike up top, Ronnie coming in to play alongside one of them?
I mean, personally, I'd like to see Ronnie given a go apart from the 3-minute cameos he gets. I think it's plain to see that he can finish. I just think every game, like the game he started, I can't remember which game it was, but I remember it was a horrible day. And he can't get in the game because it's not his style. It wasn't his type of game. Similar to when Smith played, it weren't his game and he couldn't get in. Similar to when we played Dylan Levitt, which I think it was Northampton. I think it was. They're just not those. They wasn't suited for the occasion and the circumstances and the weather and that. But hopefully he can get a run because you can see he's got he can finish, you know. And I think, Chucks, as well as he's good, as good as he's been when he's come off the bench and when he started, I think he's more effective off the bench. So I'd like Ronnie to be given a go. Personally, it wouldn't surprise me if we were playing on Tuesday, if obviously we aren't now, but if he would have started one of those games anyway because of the quick turnaround. But yeah, I'm with Tommy. It'd be interesting to see if Ronnie gets some minutes, and hopefully he can, and at least have a chance, because he hasn't really had a fair bite of the cherry for me.
Yeah, and we're hearing that Ryan Innes has obviously been back in training this week. He again played some minutes himself against Brentford. You know, Nigel not really giving much away in terms of whether he's going to be fit enough to come in, Tom. But I mean, if he is, does he come straight in? Obviously, we've seen again, a mistake at the back against Wimbledon from Akinfenwo, but from a player who most would consider, I think, a safe pair of hands. So I don't think you'd drop him after that. Piercy's come back in and played well over the last few games when obviously we know he's had a tough time of it in periods this season. So, I mean, do you think that's that's not a change you're desperate to make, and no real reason to rush Ryan back at this moment in time? It's not like, you know, we're making as many mistakes as we were a few weeks ago, hopefully.
Yeah, I agree. I've said plenty of times this season that I'm not one for changing the back four unless you have to. So I think I'd like to keep them the same. I think where I've said it, obviously, if you concede three or four goals or something like that, you might want to change it. But as you said, the goal we conceded the Wimbledon game was of our own doing. And I don't think you're going to drop Fanwo for that, although it's slightly double standards, because if Oshalaja did it and it was under Boya, he probably would be out the side. But I think with Fanwo, just overall, you probably chalk that up as a one-off as opposed to something that he perhaps does a bit more often. So personally, I agree with you. I think keep it the same for now. Maybe if Ryan's fit enough, put him on the bench. You know, if we're 1-0 up, we're looking to protect that lead for the last 10 minutes, bring him on as an additional defender, let him play himself back into fitness, and we've got a lot of games in the running, with the Lincoln one being rearranged as well. We're going to have two games, maybe even three games some weeks, so it's going to be relentless for the last month of the season. So we're going to need him at some point. I can't imagine that Fanwo and Pierce are going to get through every game unscathed, so he's got plenty of time to play himself back in. So I think, yeah, probably stay the same. But again, it's just nice to have those options again, nice to have people fit. Maybe it's come too late, given where we are in the league. But as I say, we are still in the hunt. And if he is able to play a part in that, then obviously that's very exciting as well. So, yeah, well, I would probably keep it the same for Friday's game.
Yeah, Nathan, I mean, what would you like to see change in terms of mentality from a Nigel Adkins side now? Obviously, when we spoke to him after that game at Wimbledon, I think he sort of implied he doesn't really want to see him playing out from the back to the extent that we saw against the Dons, you know, obviously that mistake from Fanwo. But I mean, do you think over the course of 2 weeks, you know, as someone who's done a little bit of coaching badges and stuff, that would do you think that's enough time to really start to impart your message upon a new team?
I mean, he's had a bit of time. I mean, you know, you've got some players that have gone away on international duty, but they're quite senior pros anyway. Look at Chris Gunter; he's going to be able to slot back in. It's not like he's not going to settle back into any ethos that. Have any trouble settling into any force that Nigel's tried instilling. I think if Nigel looks at it, he does, you know, like Tom said earlier, to set the game against Wimbledon, it is our own doing, really. And it's just, do we need to do it? I mean, and if you are going to play it short, then the way we said on the post-match anyway, it looked like they were going to launch it anyway. So then why are you going to do that to launch it for then your back line to get up? You're just inviting your own pressure on. So To go short on those goal kicks, it means you're going to at least build it out and go to your fullback. But we was never Fanwo on that side. He had his back to the right back, so he was never going to go that way anyway. So it seemed pointless. But I think Nigel will probably just see what we've got and just try and play to our strengths a little bit more. Whether that means we go direct, which we've done in games. Like I think the game against Wimbledon, we started off so brightly. Started with a lot of width, we had a lot of pace, and we were successful. And then we seemed to just be really narrow and just went more direct, and it wasn't working. Whether or not that was Nigel trying to see if we can go that way or not, or trying to nullify Wimbledon. But yeah, I think it's going to take more than a week or so to instill his, you know, the way he wants to play, because it's only so much training you can do. You need matches. You need matches to put it into practice. But he'll probably tweak things here and there. And the good thing is have you got a clean slate? I know Deji's been, you know, been under fire in recent weeks, probably all season to be fair. But he's got a clean slate. Alex Gilby's coming back in. So I forgot about him. So I don't know. He might spring some surprises and try and instill his way of playing.
Yeah, certainly. Right, obviously, I mentioned Andy Butler in at Doncaster. I said they'd gone five without a win. They've actually only won two in the last 12 as well. They had back-to-back home wins at the start of March against Pompey and Plymouth, both 2-1. But before that, they'd gone another five or six games without winning. So they're obviously on a difficult run. How important do you think it is that we sort of start on the front foot? Tom, what do you think Nigel goes there with a game plan to soak it up a little bit, you know, early doors? You know, we're well aware that they have got some dangerous players up front. They've also got Omar Bogle up front. You know, so they've got the whole mix there.
Yeah, I think it seems to me pretty certain that Bogle's going to score against us, probably some 30-yard worldie into the top corner. But I think, to me, it's been the story of our season that when we've started quick, which doesn't seem to have happened too often, but when it has, I would say largely we've gone on to win the game, or certainly not lose the game. And when we've fallen behind, maybe not even just this season, but when we've fallen behind in recent seasons, our ability to come back and turn that around has been few and far between. I think when we did it a couple of weeks ago, it was the first time since Wembley, I think, since going 1-0 down and turning it around. So, yeah, it's a difficult one, but I think those stats kind of speak for themselves. We've got to be on the front foot, and we should be trying to take the game to them. I know it's away from home, but they are on a poor run of form, and we've got a squad that's good enough to get a result there. So I think we have to go there and think that. Obviously, the international break may have given them a chance to reset, but yeah, that's just the way I would like to see it. I don't know enough about Nigel yet to know what sort of a manager he is, whether he is cautious, whether he is pragmatic, or whether he's a bit gung-ho. Obviously, I know him from his time at Southampton and stuff. I just can't necessarily remember it. So what he does with this group of players over the next 10 games, I think will be very interesting to see, because we saw him against Wimbledon. I think it was the Wimbledon game. Six times, didn't he, to just try things out and see what was working. And hopefully he's now got a clearer idea based on that game, based on the Brentford B team, based on training, got an idea of how he wants to play this squad. And so hopefully the rotation that he uses going forwards will purely be from a sense of trying to win the game as opposed to anything else. So I'm interested to see how he sets up, but I definitely don't think we should fear Doncaster at all. It's a game we can go and win.
Excellent stuff. Let's have a look at some of the tweets that have come in then. I asked you guys what you'd like to see the Addicts do differently this weekend. Wellesley just said, I want to see him win for a change. Yeah, we don't win back-to-back games, do we? But we're we didn't win the last one, so that means we've got a better chance of winning this one, I guess. CFC said, not starting Pratley and Watson would be a good start. I mean, Nath, obviously we haven't seen that last couple of games now. I mean, can you see that being something that Nigel might be tempted to revert to?
Possibly. I mean, I think I've said on the show many a time, I think as much as the experience is good, I think when you play them two together, unless you're going to rely, you know, heavily on the width in you know, like a, you know, DJ or and Liam, and then them two sit, it could possibly work. But I can't see them working in a diamond too well. I just think, I know Prattley gets about the pitch and, you know, and Watson stops the play and is, you know, plays the simple passes and tries to dictate the tempo a bit. But I just find it just nullifies us. It restricts us a little bit, in my opinion. I just think we've got so many good players on the ball, especially with Gilby coming back now, who, you know, he's not hit the heights that he probably wanted to. And obviously injury has hampered it. But even if you look at, you know, Jake, Alvey, Shinny, you know, Smith's good on the ball. And I just think when we play those two there, it can be quite negative. And I think probably one or the other, when they first joined, I thought it was going to be a rotational thing with those two. One will come in and the other will sit out and vice versa. But they're good players. They're just different. But I just think it limits us in the final third when we play both of them. So it all depends on what he wants. I mean, if we were playing maybe a team in form who are really strong down the middle of the pitch, maybe someone like a Sunderland, then I could probably see why if they played him as two sitters. And then you had the three expansive ones with the Shinny and Liam and DJ or Albie or whatever. I could understand it. But again, like we've all said, I mean, they're not exactly firing on all cylinders, Doncaster. So I'd be a bit disappointed, excuse me, if he did go down that road. But listen, he works with him every day and he's obviously a very able manager in this league.
Yeah, certainly is. He's probably covered as much yardage with his morning walks as well as Darren Pratley does during a game as well, because Darren, we know, likes to get about the pitch. Right? One of the fittest players in the squad. Right, Andy says we should stop conceding silly goals. McGinno says a decisive win, no scrabbling around at the end and not conceding a goal in the last throws of the game. Charlton fan says we should not pass the ball back to Amos every time we take a goal kick. They need to hold the ball up and then smash it up to Stockley and play Anike. And then Gordon says it'll be interesting to see how Adkins set them up. Since he took over, seems he's mostly let Jacko set the team and tactics up, which isn't too dissimilar to Bowyer Ball. Exciting end to the season, hopefully, regardless of what happens. Excellent stuff. Right, let's have a quick break here on Charlton Live, the big match preview. When we come back, we're going to hear a bit more from the new Addicts boss, Nigel Adkins.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Kick and then Washington and Stockley combine. It's back with Washington. Can he get the ball in the box? He can. To Stockley, no, just beyond him. Finds Miller though. Will he take the shot? He does. And it's the goal. Charlton take the lead. 17 and a half minutes gone, and a fully deserved one at that.
Yeah, totally agree, Tell. This time they make MK Dons pay. Charlton pressed really, really well in his opening 17 minutes. We spoke about the opportunities they should have created and nearly had one through Darren Brattley just a minute ago. This time the ball on the right hand side. Lovely ball in from Washington. And again, an overload on the left-hand side. Stockley could have got it. Instead, he leaves it for Liam Miller. And that's a lovely finish from the Liverpool loanee.
Charlton Live.
Well, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. A day early this week because, of course, the game is on Good Friday, coming up to the Easter break, which we're all looking forward to. We will have a show on Easter Sunday. I haven't told you lads yet, but yeah, you work. There's no Easter bonus or anything like that for working a bank holiday. But yeah, that's what we're going to be doing. So on Sunday we'll be looking back at the game against Doncaster. We're also going to get over to the game between Charlton Athletic Women and London Bees, because the Addicts just need a point to secure safety in the Championship. So I'm going to get over and report on that, and we'll get some reaction to that game on Sunday's show as well. I mean, Tom, just quickly on the women's team, I know you watched my commentary at Palace. I wrestled my way into the stadium to do some commentary against the wishes of the home side, it turned out. But what did you make of it? They've gone only one defeat in six now, I think, or seven. Mainly draws, so only one win in that time. But they've put themselves in a really good chance now. Karen Hills is coming in and hoping with a result on Sunday that they can secure that Championship status for next season now.
Yeah, I was impressed with them. I saw a bit of the game the weekend as well against, I think that was against London Bees as well, wasn't it?
London City, that was London City.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, London City, yeah. So it's difficult because I've seen them a couple of times live recently. I know you and I did some comms against Palace last year. And we've seen them a couple of times when we've kind of sponsored them. And I think when they've been in the division below, or even a little bit at the start of last season before they made wholesale changes, they were an exciting team to watch, very attacking, full of confidence. And obviously, they've had a difficult time over the last year or so and struggled a little bit. And you can tell that this is a team almost starting to rebuild. So they seemed a lot more pragmatic. But they defended really well in both games and really looked to create. And they look like they're now starting to put something together again. As you say, they've started to get on a good run again. Results have improved. And they're not the free goal scoring side that they were when they had someone like Eliza Dupuy or a Kit Graham up front. But But they'll get there. And I think the building blocks are in place now. Obviously, Thomas has taken over. They've brought in the new manager as well, a new head coach. So, you know, I can see positive signs going forward. It's just so important that they just stay up and survive this year, which, as you say, if results go the right way at the weekend, they're going to be very close to doing. And I just hope that we get the opportunity to start going back down there again. Because I think, as you said on the comms, you know, it's such a good opportunity to go out and watch them play. It's always good fun being down there. So, yeah, it was good to have the opportunity to see them on Valley Pass. And I think the YouTube, one of the games, and Valley Pass the other. Get that exposure for them. And as you say, hopefully another good result at the weekend, and they're going to be a step closer to survival, which is the key aim for this season, I suspect.
Lovely stuff. Right, one man who was in attendance at Hayes Lane for that 1-1 draw with Palace last week was Mr. Nigel Adkins, the Addicts boss. Now, he had his press day today. We already heard a little bit of him looking ahead to the game with Doncaster Rovers on Friday. But he was asked by Benji Nurek today if he was aware of Charlton historically tending to play quite well against sides higher up in the division, but that not really being the case so far this season. Of course, we've lost to Hull, we've lost at Peterborough, 0-0 draw with Sunderland, Lincoln we got beat by, Portsmouth we got beat at home, one away, Blackpool, same results there. So, and Doncaster, obviously at home, we got beat quite handily by them. So our record against the top six or seven hasn't been very good this season. So Nigel was asked about that, and the fact that obviously Charlton are still yet to play quite a lot of the sides in and around that top seven or eight in between now and the end of the season, and those results obviously will play a massive part in whether we can get into the playoffs this year.
From my point of view, I've been here for 13 days. I can't control anything that's happened in the past. You know, you can be aware of it, which is important. I mean, when was the last time we were in the Premier League?
Quite a few years ago now, 2007-ish. But and then last season in the Championship, some very good results against the best teams.
Yeah, so it's good. So anyway, moving forward, it's really exciting that through the games that we've got coming up, they're virtually all in teams that are probably above us in the league. So what's a great opportunity to test ourselves and see if we can take points off them and give ourselves points to catch them. So that's really exciting. As I said, from my point of view, it's a new league. You know, we're looking at it, boom, it's a new league, 9 games to go. You know, we've got to find a way to get ourselves in that sixth position. You know, if we win on against Doncaster, I believe we go fifth. You know, so there's an opportunity there for us. However, I'm aware other teams have got games to go and play, so there'll be a disparity in that as we go along. But for me, it's just it's a fresh start. It's a new league. It's a fresh league. This is where we are. How can we get the best out of all of us rowing in the same direction, pulling in the same direction to try and affect the next game, get our performance right, and we can keep working on that. We give ourselves an opportunity to win the game. Keep the season alive for the playoffs.
Perfect. And just quickly, lastly from me, so do you think then the best way to approach those games, and it seems like it based on just everything about you, is to go in with an excitement of this is an opportunity to actually do something, as opposed to a nervousness of, oh, this is kind of our last chance?
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt, it's a great opportunity. You know, we talk about it, and maybe at the start of the season, the football club and all the supporters of the football club were thinking, will we actually see the season out? So all of this is a big bonus. You've now got an owner who's set a wonderful long-term vision, you know, so that's really exciting. You know, getting to know him seems to be building a relationship, really exciting as well. And all the support, can't wait to meet the supporters. That's been one of the big things, because like everybody, we've not had the opportunity, but I'm really looking forward to doing that and engaging with everybody. But it's an opportunity. And what have we got to lose? So I look at what we got to lose. So let's try and be as positive as we can. We have to go and get points on the board. We have to win games. So we know that. But let's break it down. How can we get our performance right to give ourselves an opportunity to go?
Nigel Adkins then, Nathan, sees this very much as an opportunity rather than something to be feared. And that very much sums up how Nigel Adkins sees everything, I think.
Yeah, of course. I think it's a good, good way of being, a good positive attitude. I mean, if he comes in and goes, it's going to be a disappointing opportunity. It's going to be a dull end of the year, and you know, you don't really tug at the heartstrings or anything, does it? You know, so I think it is a good opportunity, and I think probably where we are in the league now, we've obviously got that glimmer of hope, but I don't think many people are hanging on to it anymore as we probably was, and I was at the beginning, sort of when we had that run, and probably got a bit over ambitious or over excited, rather, not over ambitious. So yeah, it's a good opportunity. It's a time for people to, you know, we've got people out of contract. We've got a new manager in. We've got people, you know, they can start to impress. So I think it's a fresh start, a clean slate for everyone. And it's a chance for everyone to show what they can do and what they want to be part of this journey, which is going to be a big summer. And it's a chance for everyone to jump on board the, I was going to say the banter bus then, but it's not really a banter bus, but it's going to be a good journey, hopefully next year. And I'm seeing it as a positive, and it's actually nice now for me. Not sort of stressing about it. I just think I'm just, you know, whatever happened will happen this season. If we get in the playoffs, don't get me wrong, I'm going to be buzzing. But if we don't, it's not going to ruin my summer, put it that way, because, you know, England's going to win the Euros and then it's going to be great.
Yeah, that's the spirit. I mean, Nathan's obviously bought into that positivity there. Is that an outlook you like, Tom? I'm just trying to think of trying to apply it to my own life. Like when some idiot crashed his car and it went through my front wall a few months ago, rather than saying, oh no, I've had my wall knocked down, I should be like, oh, this is an opportunity to build a new wall.
I mean, if you're saying to him, go and make the most of the day now, and sending him off with a smile on your face, I think that might be a bit too much. But I think it does make a difference. And I've said it a couple of times since Adkins has come in, that Sangard's been very pointed in making the case for Adkins' positivity. And obviously, Bowyer wasn't that all the time. You know, he didn't, or certainly didn't show it to the media.
Can only imagine what he was like behind closed doors then.
Exactly. And there were rumours of fallings out. And obviously, we know the type of player he was in terms of a hothead. So I think he's got a very different style of manager in, and I'm sure there is intention behind that. And I don't think there's a Charlton fan around who could deny that, you know, the positivity when he posts those videos in the morning is infectious. And if that rubs off on the players, if it becomes a, you know, Sparrows Lane becomes a nice place to be and a fun place to be, then can only be a positive thing. And obviously you don't want the players too relaxed, like Nath and I are in terms of the playoffs. You know, I'm sure they all still believe that there's something to get. But if the pressure's maybe slightly off, then they might sort of free themselves up and play a bit more expansive football. So, yeah, I certainly don't think it's a bad thing. As I say, how much of an impact it has on them, I'm not sure. But it certainly can't be a negative.
Yeah, the form of sides above us at the moment, I'm just trying to look at the form table. You know, in the last eight games, there's only a handful of sides that have won four or above. There's Milton Keynes, Fleetwood, Giles, Burton, Hull and Sunderland. So, you know, because I think part of what Charlton fans will be hoping for is the fact that the teams above us and around us aren't going on these barnstorming runs, and therefore if we do go on one, we'll pick it up. And, you know, just looking at some of those sides around us, I think obviously Blackpool and sides like that are having little late bursts towards the playoffs, but the tiredness is going to set in soon. I mean, we've got to make sure that we can take advantage of it. Obviously, we're going to have our own problems now with that Lincoln game being put off, but there is a little bit, and I know it's not something you're allowed to say as a, you know, you can only concentrate on yourselves, but at the back of my mind, as I always do, I'm always more confident of other teams slipping up than us doing stuff, Nath. I mean, that is going to come into play between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, it always does. Every single year it does. I think Sunderland have gone on a mental run of form. And if I'm being honest, I hope they do go up, really. Because obviously, we've got on well with them. And also, if we get them in the playoffs, is it going to be three in a row? I don't know about that. But you're always going to have ups and downs in the season. And like you say, Blackpool are doing really well at the moment. And obviously, because they started slowly and then they've sort of picked it up again. So there's going to be so many games and so many opportunities for for points to be won and lost. I mean, even look at Wimbledon. You know, we was more or less first half in control and then threw the game away. And it's like, you know, that doesn't just happen to us. I know it seems like it because we obviously don't watch other teams as much, but it can happen to anyone. Doncaster were flying, as we know, and now they're on the
a weird run of form. Oxford were down near the bottom at the beginning of the season. Now they're right up there. So anything can happen. So it only takes a goal to only takes a second to score a goal, rather. So there's going to be so many twists and turns. And if we're going to be in the midst of it and become being involved and put a little run together, which I know, you know, especially on Valley Pass, you know, Scott Minto and Curbs have said so many times, but it's true, because this league, no one's really pulling away really that much. And if we can keep ourselves in it, we might start getting a game in hand, or they might start evening out after Tuesday, because everyone else will be playing. But like you say, I know it's boring, it's cliche, but we can only focus on the next game and see where it takes us. And if we end up in the playoffs, then it'd be crazy. I just imagine though, like we're sitting here now in the end of March going, yeah, well, you know, and then we end up going up in the playoffs, like absolutely smashing it. Like, it would just be mental if we actually went up. Yeah. It'd be insane.
Yeah, especially I'm getting married the day before the final as well. So I'd be going from getting married on the day before, going to Wembley, and then the day after going on my honeymoon. So that could be a good week.
That'd be mental.
Yeah. I mean, how much of a different sort of mentality is it now that we've dropped out of the playoffs again? Yeah, we're seeing those sides starting to catch up. We still do have, you know, mainly sides who have played more than us, although we actually have a game in hand on a couple of them now, which makes a nice change. But obviously there's sides above us who have still played two fewer. And we will be in a situation now, Tom, where we're chasing rather than waiting to see how far behind we end up. I mean, do you think that'll make things different for us? Bear in mind, of course, we're playing these sides that we know we haven't actually done too well against so far this season.
I don't read too much into it myself. I don't think the players pay a lot of attention to the table throughout the season. And obviously you'd rather be in it than not. But, we've got to play all those teams, as you say. And I think, as maybe Nath mentioned earlier, we've got to look at it as an opportunity rather than these teams are better than us and we've got a bad record against them. We've got to look at it as, well, there's the chance to take 6 points effectively from a lot of those games. And, you know, if we were to beat even, I don't know, win five of the running games, but they're all against teams around us, the impact that that's going to have on the position in the league is going to be huge. And as you say, I think we'd all, like a lot of fans do, when you look at your own team and everybody around you has got games in hand, you automatically add 6 points to all of their totals because you assume they're all going to win their games in hand. And it hasn't been the case. So we're not in as bad a position as we could be. As you said there, the runs that, I have an accumulator usually on League One, and I've gone for kind of the top six or seven teams in the past few weeks, and it's not just been let down by one team each week. It's almost all of them every single week. So it shows that the consistency across the board at the top of the table is just not there at the moment. As you say, you get a team that goes on a good run for four or five games and then they drop off and somebody else does it. So, you know, we've got as much chance as anybody. Do I think we're going to get there? No, I've been pretty consistent on that since probably late November, early December. But like Nath, I'm not going to complain if we do get there. And I think we've got as much chance as anybody else.
I think just coming on that one as well, like our next three games, we're all playing everyone who's chasing a playoff spot. And I think if I remember, a couple of months ago, remember when like the games in hand on other teams were like crazy and we were going, oh, well, you know, Accrington Stanley, you've got like four or five games in hand over us and look what's happened to them. So I think it just shows that anything can happen. I mean, to be fair, Blackpool and if they've got two in hand on us or whatever, so they could pull away. But it just shows that anything can happen. So I think it's like, Tom, if we just get too caught up on it, because if the flip goes happens and then we start getting games in hand, do we sit there and go, well, they're guaranteed 6 points? We don't. So
no, that's because we've seen us play this season, Nate. Exactly. We ain't seen the other ones play as much. Excellent stuff. Well, let's have a break. We're going to hear from Big Nige one more time in the last part of the show, but we'll be back here on Charlton Live in 30 seconds.
A good ball to find Shinny. It's a lovely first touch. And Shinny, reverse ball, finds Washington, who's through on goal. Connor Washington!
There it is!
And Charlton take the lead.
31 minutes. It's a lovely assist from Andrew Shinney. We have to be honest, John, haven't really been in the game that much in the opening 31 minutes, but it just took one passage of decent play. Firstly from Gunsen, the ball forward. Shinney with the control. It's a lovely control. And the reverse ball to find Washington, who kept his composure and fired beyond Eastwood.
Charlton Live. Well, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview ahead of our Easter Friday game. I was just thinking, actually, Tom, it's ironic, isn't it, that we started the show, you know, as we have quite a lot of shows, talking about Johnny Williams, because it is Easter and he does actually look like a giant egg, doesn't he? So is that why you think of him?
As soon as you started talking then, I wondered where that was going. It had Connor Washington style president joke vibes. But no, I don't really think of him as an egg. No, I think of him as a little cherub.
Have you seen
on Johnny Williams, don't be like that. I just wanted to know, if it's actually possible that Johnny Williams' private masseur or physiotherapist is the Rochdale, is it the Rochdale physio, or, you know, the one who looks like him?
It's me.
Oh, Shrewsbury.
I'm his private masseur.
Do you reckon, imagine them two both in a room, like, getting massaged by each other, or, actually, this is the wrong show, isn't it?
Yeah. be like a massage parlour in a house of mirrors, but we've taken this idea way too far. And I'm actually now quite confused. Have you seen that Connor Washington's joined Twitter now? So I can actually DM him my joke every day, and I have been. He blocked me.
I did see that the other day. Have you actually sent it yet?
No, come on.
Add him to the people that have blocked you.
Yeah, step too far. I've been blocked by some big names this week. That's one to wait for. I think the day I'll give up is when Nigel Adkins, the happiest man on Twitter, sees fit to block me or something. Right, let's hear from the happiest man on Twitter and indeed the world one more time. Obviously, it's been an international break. He's had a chance to sit down with his squad. He was asked today, you know, how he's feeling now after this little bit of time with his squad, and also you'll hear the second half of it. Obviously, he had that time off. What he sort of learned during his time outside the game, because, you know, often you get people saying, oh, he's been out of the game for however long, is he a bit past it? But Nigel sees it very differently. So let's hear from the Addicts boss one more time. First of all, talking about what he's done with this last couple of weeks during the international break.
Yeah, listen, Andy, from my point of view, it's a fresh start. We've been at the football club now for 13 days. You know, we've had several training sessions on the grass with the players, you know, in the meeting rooms, just trying to build in. And again, I only knew Chrissy Gunter, who's just had 100 caps for Wales. So that's fantastic. So Chrissy Gunter was the only player that I knew, obviously having been a player with us at Reading many years ago. And I met Jed Roddy once 8 years ago. So for me, trying to get to know everybody, building relationships, I think we've utilised our time well in this very short space of time to do that. But likewise, you're always going to get measured on results, I suppose. But for me, we're just trying to work on the performance to try and keep improving that. And, you know, we are one club, so it's how we all come together and keep moving forward together like that.
Finally for me, Nigel, I just wonder then, obviously, what potential you see in this group at the minute with so much to play for between now and the end of the season as well?
Well, you just said it there, the potential with so much to play for between now and the end of the season. There's a lot of players who are out of contract. You know, I want to make sure that we are one club, you know, for the pathway for the youngsters to come through. Pathway for the coaches to come through. You know, we've got the ladies team as well, the women's team, should I say, as well. You know, I've been to watch them with Karen the other day with the team, and obviously with the owner, you know, so that has been really beneficial that the owner's been here for a week. So trying to build a relationship and understand how we can operate and work together has been good. So for me, it's been a positive 13 days so far, and I'm really looking forward to the game on Easter Friday against Doncaster now. I think from my point of view, I've utilised the time really well. I could have stayed, I could have joined other football clubs. But for me, I've utilised the time well. Always learning. You know, we talk about high performance teams. I think if you follow me on social media, you've seen I've put a lot of stuff out over the years, over the last period of time anyway. Always learning different things. How can you improve yourself? How can you understand what the latest trends are, how the times are moving, how you can help get the best out of individuals, how you can help get the best out of as a group and a team, looking at the different tactics that are going on. And when you're in full-time football and when you're playing every 3 days, you quite often don't have the opportunity for your CPD, your continual professional development, and you're learning all the time. So it's been good to be able to do that. because, and again, do things you can't do when you're on that treadmill of being a manager, where it is 24/7, 7 days a week, you know, when it's full on. So I've actually benefited, I think, from the time because I've been busy looking to learn and looking to improve, and I think that's an important message.
There we go, Big Nige. I mean, let's talk about the second part of it first then. So obviously, you know, he's had this time off and he used it. He used a phrase that when I heard it sends shivers down my spine, CPD. He's talking about your sort of personal development. And I was like, people at work always talk about that. And it just makes you think about stuff you've got to do outside, extra stuff to do. But obviously, Nigel, something that he takes very seriously and something that he used his time out of the game to look at properly, Nathan. You know, as a manager, I guess there are always new techniques and new tricks and all sorts of new things that you can learn. And Nigel's obviously, you know, he strikes me as quite a progressive character and someone who wants to find out everything there is out there about the game.
Yeah, I think so. I think the thing is, Nigel, as obviously everyone knows, he's positive. But one thing he does strive for is that you just improve yourself. You know, you just improve yourself every day. You learn new things every day. Every single one of us learn new things. So, and I think all that CPD really in short form is just improve yourself. So, and obviously that goes a long way in terms of obviously as a person and as obviously as a club and trying to achieve goals that we all want to achieve by going up and get promoted and et cetera, et cetera. So I think I know you can get, it can be a bit convoluted with in the corporate world of work, in office work, which some of us obviously do, and you get all, like you were saying, you get all those personal development plans and all that jazz. But I think, yeah, it will just be simply in that, what are you good at, what are you not so good at, can we improve that, then great. I think it's a good way to be instead of being an old school disciplinarian, and it's just looking at it another way. And obviously you've worked on us so far, so we've got to remember players are human as well. I mean, yeah, they're good at kicking a ball around, but they are human as well, so it might actually work with them.
Mm. I mean, is that something you worried about, Tom, that Nigel had been out of the game for, you know, not that long, a couple of years, obviously turned down a new contract at Hull. He tells us that he had opportunities to go into other clubs that weren't the right one for him. So, you know, it's sort of his decision as well. It's not like, you know, he's out of the game because he couldn't get a job. But, I mean, did that worry you, the fact he'd been out for a couple of years? I mean, is there that much difference between League One football now and, you know, how it was a couple of years ago?
I think that's the important thing there is you look at who he is and the team he's managing, and it didn't worry me. I think when you see someone who's been out of the game for a lot longer, I know Kerbs is always the one who's dragged up as the example, and I don't necessarily think that's fair either, but lots of the managers that sort of stumble back into Premier League jobs who've been out for a year or two, the reason that they ultimately then fail is because they're the older managers, the old school managers, they're not progressive. And so they come back to a Premier League that, let's face it, changes year on year on year with the quality and the turnover of players. And so it's very different. I think League One, I don't think probably changes and transforms to quite the same extent. And I think that in Nigel, you've got a manager who, as we've all said, is progressive, does take his time. You know, I'm not going to compare him to some of the very great managers, but, you know, there are a couple of names out there who have gone and taken sabbaticals, taken a year out, and they've come back and done fine. And the reason is because they progress and they do develop themselves and they use that time wisely. They don't just go and sit on a beach in Marbella and wait for the phone to ring and come back and manage West Brom to relegation, for example. So I think it wasn't something that concerned me. It wasn't a name that stood out straight away, but as he started to rise up through the odds and it started to become clear he was going to be the next manager, I looked at his record at the clubs and I thought about the type of manager he is and what I did know about him, and I'm pleased that we've got him in now, and I'm really interested to see how he gets on. So I'm excited to see him there. I think his positivity, as we've all said, has been infectious, and I'm not going to judge him too much on the next 10 or so games, but I think with a good summer, it could be a very interesting season next year.
Yeah, certainly could be. Now, the other part of that was obviously we're talking about the fresh start, the international break, you know, how excited he is. Again, we heard about the opportunity he sees, but there will be players in this side, Nathan, who need a clean slate, you know. Deji, probably one of them, Gilby mentioned as well. I mean, are there any players that you think, you know, obviously quite a few fell foul of Lee Bowyer, who could be staking a claim to get back in this side. I mean, we can't just say the only reason they were playing badly was Bowie. Obviously, they've got to take some of that responsibility for themselves, though, as well, I guess.
Yeah, no, of course. I think, I know we joke about him a lot, but I think a player that would probably thrive under Nigel is Johnny Williams. I think the character that Nigel Williams is something that Johnny needs. And I think he'd probably play really well under someone like that, just to make him believe in himself a little bit, really. But I mean, in terms of players, I mean, yeah, it's been well documented of who's been sort of maybe making too many mistakes or, you know, clean slates. But also, if you go the other way and look at players that you think that can, you can, they can give more and they've got so much more to give. People like Albie Morgan, I think, you know, learning the game and making him believe in himself. And I just think there's so many other players, I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. And you've got players out on loan. You know, I think Josh Davison's doing okay down at Forest Green. You know, so you've got loads of players that not only can have maybe a point to prove, but some of them that haven't proved a point yet because they're young. And they can thrive and forget about players like Ozzy. You know, he's not even here. So I don't even know if he's gone permanently, actually. But, yeah, I just think you've got loads of players who can try and improve and then try and build for next season.
Certainly. Right, let's get some predictions in for the game against Doncaster Rovers then on Good Friday. Nath, how do you see it going?
I'm going to go for a 2-1 win.
Nice. Tom?
I'm going to... Ronnie Schwartz double.
Oh, take a bit of that. Tom?
Yeah.
1-0.
Yeah. Ronnie Schwartz single. Yep. Omar Bogle own goal.
Yes.
imagine the scenes if he actually belts one top bins. does the old cup ears to Nigel Adkins and forgot that Bowie ain't there anymore.
Yeah, that would be very good. Right, so we've come to the... How are you guys... I just realised, now that we're actually allowed out and about again, how have you guys celebrated going out? Have you left the house yet, Nathan? Are you allowed out of the house?
I've not gone out. I've been working all this week. So literally, I looked out the window yesterday. I was halfway through the day and it was glorious. But I haven't had a chance yet. On Friday... I might be going out on my bike for the first time in a while, so I might be going down to the Kent Coast again. But yeah, no, I haven't been out yet. I'll have to probably come and see you boys, even though we're a bit further away now.
Yeah.
I'm moving deeper into Surrey.
Yeah, I guess so. You all come this way. We ain't going that way. We ain't that desperate. Tom, have you enjoyed the lifting of restrictions? Like, we're getting closer and closer to all being in a studio together once more.
Terrifying, isn't it? Yeah, like Nath, I've been working this week, so I haven't had a chance yet. But Easter weekend, we'll see the parents. Haven't seen them for about 3 or 4 months, so that'll be nice. Mm. So, yeah, looking forward to getting in a pub garden with you boys and having a beer. Yeah, that'll be nice.
Sounds good. So anyone who's able to get together with your mates and watch a game in a garden or something over the weekend, enjoy. Slowly getting there. It won't be that long till we're all back at the Valley again, and I cannot wait for that. Right, we've run out of time on this week's Big Match Preview. Thanks to all of you who've joined in. Thank you to Tom and to Nathan for joining me on the Big Match Preview.
Cheers, boys.
Cheers, mate.
Good to have you both with me. I'm Louis Mendes. Thanks for listening. We'll be back on Easter Sunday with a look back at whatever happens against Doncaster. Let's hope it's 3 points for Big Nigel's Addicts side. We'll see you later.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.